this meant, okay? When I, and I take it, quote, key to annexation, and you kind of hit on that, Michael, decisions is the impacts on existing land uses, particularly water resources. Now you mentioned, okay, that if you annex that, and there's a possibility if you include it in the boundary thing. That's, and trust me again, I do not want to be included in that. I will never, and I'm a lucky man, because I have a son that's going to take over my farm. Luckiest guy in the world. I would never, because of his sake, put a conservation easement on my farm. No, no way. Okay? I can tell you why, but it's, I don't take the time. But I want you to explain to me now what you meant by particularly water resources as president of the Northfield Irrigation Company for 46 years.
Okay, so I do want to cover a couple of aspects of your comments. One is affected entities. One thing, a lot of people think just because they own land, they're by definition an affected entity. That's really not the case in state code. Katie's looked that up recently. Can you kind of go over that?
Sure. Hi, I'm Katie Volani. I work in the Midway Planning Office as well. It's nice to meet you. So the state code, just kind of as you're going through, the state code sets forth exactly what affected entities are, what they're not. It's usually governmental. It's not usually private individuals or things of that nature. So in terms of, I'm not sure exactly where you want me to go with an affected entity. You should, so you, the notice you would have gotten back when the boundary or the growth boundary was extended to include you would have been the same notice that you got this time, probably.
I didn't get one.
Oh, you did? Well, that's because we haven't done it yet. I take it back.
Well, some of the property owners aren't by definition an affected entity.
No, they're not an affected entity.
Yeah, so that would be the issue. There aren't letters sent out to all private property owners. Definition, they're not an affected entity.
So you're saying I'm not an entity?
According to state code,
you're not
the state
a recognized
legislature.
Affected entity under the code.
I like the sister's comment when she wanted to know our position.
But I think that's one of the reasons they have public hearings and things like that, which we're having tonight, is because everyone is interested in hearing people who, I think you're affected. You're affected because you live there. Affected entity is a specific definition that's defined under state code.
Okay.
And that's what
appreciate
I think
that.
You don't mean. But I definitely think you're affected.
I don't think it's right, but I understand it.
And the city may take the approach that, yeah, we send out letters to everybody as
okay.
We go through this process. So that needs to be decided. As for water resources, one thing the city has is culinary water. That's one thing that's not out in the north fields as a system ending, per se. You know, there are wells out there. And so that's one thing that the city could provide. Obviously, water rights do be traded over in order for somebody to connect to that culinary system. But as for other water resources, irrigation really shouldn't change. If somebody wanted to develop their property, they still have to turn over the water rights for that development, just as is done in Midway and in the county in that same area. So I may not be hitting exactly what you are looking for water resources.
I am. You did. Okay, I want to correct you.
Okay,
I'm speaking for the people at Midway now. That you don't understand, a lot of people don't understand this. A lot of years ago, and I'm going over 2 minutes, is that okay?
Yeah, but try to wrap it up.
A lot of years ago, the state came by and we were running out of water. They made a decree. They said there's no more unappropriated water in the state of Utah. What that meant was, is if you drill a well, okay, you have to take surface water and put it into the ground to recharge the underground water. And what you just said is Midway is interested in providing culinary water to them. Okay, now, I've had, as president of the irrigation company, I have a lot of water brokers come to me and want to buy water, because in the North Field, because of a restriction on building, the water is $5,000 a share. So they come to me, and we're co-applicants for the change application to the state engineer. And they say, hey, I bought 6 shares of water. Exactly what I did. This is a true example. I want to transfer it to Midway Well. I've gone to the state engineer, and they will okay it. They came to me, and I said, no, I won't sign it. Now, this is the reason. Because in the state law, you take surface water, which is in the North Fields. That water is supposed to be put into the ground to recharge the system in Midway. Now, what Michael just said, you're going to take water, somebody in the North Fields wants to develop. So the state would okay it. He wants to put his water into your well so you can provide water for him, his development. That's what you just said. I wouldn't do it, not because the North Field isn't made whole, they are. They get to keep the wet water. So answer me this question. Does that water that stays in the North Field subsidize water and the underground aquifer where you pump your water from Midway out of? No. So what is it? It's not well water. The state commonly calls it paper water. So me, we're out of water. Okay? You, by doing this, you are creating paper water. So who does it hurt? You. Because someday in the future, your aquifer is being depleted as you allow outside water to come in and you pump it out of your well. I wanted you to understand this. That's why I will not. Do it for you. And if you approve this, okay, then the only way to provide water, real water, for people in the North Fields is for them to drill a well. You can't provide water for them. It won't be done. And if you do, then your name will go on the list of how the wells in Midway dried up and the springs. That will happen. Going to happen east of Highway 40. And I've told this to Heber City and they don't believe me. Well, it's coming. It's coming. Thank you. Have any questions?
Thank you.
I'm Matt Berkeson and I do live in Midway.
And your address, right. Could you give your address, please?
819 Double Eagle Drive.
Thanks.
I'm a novice, I don't understand this. It sounds to me like we're talking about two different things. What you guys are talking about, which I fully support, and I know that a lot of people do, is preservation of land, not development of land that was just mentioned, and we need more water and all that stuff. It doesn't sound like we're looking to add more building in Northfield. It sounds like we're trying to preserve land. I wonder if you can kind of educate me a little bit.
Yeah, that's really one of the main goals in our general plan. We actually have a chapter devoted just to open space preservation and you know, really the residents of Midway put their money where their mouth is on that and is paying money towards preservation of open space. And so that would be really one of the main goals with this is just to be able to preserve more of the North Fields the way they've always been. And I think we would write in the general plan to that effect language that would preserve that area. So, preservation is one of the main goals. It's already backed up in the general plan, but that'd be reinforced.
I wonder, though, to his point, if an unintended consequence might be that developers see an opportunity to tap into Midway's infrastructure and development might occur faster because of for the same reasons I think that Heber pulled their growth boundary back. They didn't want to encourage development there. I wonder if expanding our growth boundary would encourage development there. I don't know that there's an answer to that, but it's something I think we need to think about, is the potential unintended consequences.
I think definitely general plan language could help guide how growth would happen. So I think that's a difficult one to answer.
Yeah. Any other comments from the public?
Evening, Mark Austin, 1065 Homestead Drive, just south of Craig and Debbie Probst. A few quick issues. Number one, what's the county think of what we're doing or considering? Yeah. Number two, what's Heber City actually think of what we're doing when we're thinking of being offensive, not offensive, but an offensive approach? It'd be good to know where they're minds are at and how they react to and think of, because I find it a little unique that the state doesn't encourage overlapping but allows it. So that could, you could end up, you know, we could attempt to conserve but not be successful if there's somebody else coming in and doing the same. In one comment is, you know, I think it's really all about zoning. If no zoning changes and if we try to keep preserve it to the existing zoning, that I think is key. Where we get into trouble is if we really rezone it, right? And then it creates the, you know, the higher density and a lot of the issues you were getting to, Jeff. My last point is, I would hope that in this process of looking at extending the boundaries, which, by the way, in theory, in principle, I support for the reasons that have been outlined, at least for the benefits. But as Mr. Mark and many other neighbors, I would really, really suggest that we collectively, whether it's planning or the city council or not, really do a very proactive citizen outreach. Not only survey work, but also individual, you know, contacting every single individual in these areas. I'd probably listen for 2 hours and really learn from Mr. Mark his concerns are and the issues, and I think that's needed. Now, obviously, planning, city council need to take decisions that they think are in the best interest of the population. But boy, I would hope we really do it being informed of what that really means and the impact that it will have, whether by legal definition of who one entity is or isn't. Everybody's, you know, impacted by that. So I would really strongly encourage that and would think we might be on the verge of professional malpractice if we really don't engage the citizenry to really understand where are people at on this issue. Because we can intellectually say this makes sense and these are the boundaries we think that we make sense. But really, let's get the input, I think, from both those that are in the areas and those that are out and what they think. Thank you.
Thanks.
I think one comment on that is we are interested in maintaining good relations with the county and also with Heber City. We work with them on many issues, and so I have had discussions with some of the county members, staff, about the issue, and obviously there's a long process here. We'll be able to engage both the county, especially because this is county jurisdiction, and also Heber City as we move forward, but, you know, counties really don't have control over this issue directly. The way state law is set up, cities can expand and counties lose property. As cities expand, but we do want to make sure that their concerns are considered through this.
I think the other thing we should point out is a year ago, May of 2023, we just went and revised the general plan where we discussed a lot of these things. We spent many meetings and many hours. We had a couple of charrettes where people were invited to come and express their plan, so it's not like we haven't listened. And one of the things that has come out of that plan is the desire to keep open space open, and I see this as a way of kind of protecting our borders of what may or may not happen there. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm in favor of exploring this further to see what it would look like. Mm-hmm. I understand water rights. I understand source depletion. You know, you have water in North Fields. You're going to put it in Midway. You're going to go to the state engineer. The state engineer is probably going to give you a haircut. So it's not a one-to-one. There's all kinds of other things that can happen. But the purpose of this is the potential of doing it. We're not saying we